Again, it's good to be here with you in the new year, 1998. And I thought, what better time than to look back on Lifeline history a little bit. So we're going to do something unique, probably with the next two or three tapes, but looking back on Lifeline history. You know, one of the things that's been asked of us many, many times is, how do you get started in ministry? A lot of people ask me that. You know, we've been able to forge some new trails and to do some new things and to maybe boldly go where only a few men have gone before. And when we took off and started in what we're doing here with Lifeline, there wasn't really a preset course of any kind. We didn't have anyone who was teaching us to do this because we really didn't know anyone who was doing this the way that the Lord had called us to do it. So many times people ask us, how do you get started in ministry? How do you get started in really serving the Lord? And you know, it starts with a deep conviction within your heart and a willingness to die to your own plans, your dreams, and your goals. And it helps if you're just too dumb to know any better. And realistically, folks, I'm serious. One of Michelle and I's greatest assets in the beginning was we were just too dumb to know any better. And when God said do it, we just did it. And whether or not it was possible has never been a prerequisite to our doing what God tells us to do, because very seldom has He ever called us to do anything that I felt was possible at the time. And so what we want to do over these next few tapes of the month is take a look back in the music. What was happening is I was beginning to remaster some of the older albums. The first three albums, which most of you have never heard because they've been out of production for a while. The first one was One Father, One Spirit, One Son. The second one was Word on the Street. And the third one was The Mountain Will Move. And I began to remaster these so they would be available again. And they were done on not too great a recording systems a long time ago. And so I've been taking some of the old masters and redoing them on the digital studio now. And I've come up with a recording quality that I think is acceptable. And so we were going to be putting them back out. But as I listened, I thought, you know, these songs basically tell our entire history. So what we want to do, and we've titled this I'll Go, I'll go. And you'll understand that as we move along, but it's the lifeline story in history through music. And I'll be explaining how each of these songs fits in. And through the whole course of this, I think you'll be hearing a lot of stories that will challenge you in your walk with Christ. I don't want to do just a series on our history for the sake of doing our history, or to do a biography for the sake of doing a biography, but I feel that there are many things that have happened along the road, many things that have happened up till now that have made us the people we are, and those lessons, both the victories that we've won and the mistakes that we've made, I believe in each of those that there is a lesson to be learned. And, you know, experience is for naught if we don't learn something from it. And experience, good or bad, can be learned from. And so my goal is to be very honest with you about the struggles we faced, the wars we've won and the battles we've lost, and to really be honest about what it takes and how we got here and what the Lord has done to shape us and make us into the people we are, and to shape and make Lifeline into the ministry that it is today. There are many songs that I could start out with. And so I thought about, what do I want to kick this whole series off? What song do I want to use to kick this whole series off? What most clearly exemplifies who we are, what we want to be, and what the vision of this ministry has been right on down the line? And so I can think of no better song than what has kind of become a Lifeline classic for us in Crucified.
I want to live the way my Father wants me to live. I want to give the way He wants me to give. I want to grow in love and grace. Want to see a smile on my Father's face. I want to live the way my Father wants me to live. And I want to die the way my Father came to die. Let this wretched selfish me be crucified. Till there's nothing left of me, just the one who died to set us free. Let the wretched selfish me be crucified. I want to care the way my Father wants me to care. And when my brother's standing in need, well, I want to be there. No more running from what I believe. Face unto responsibility. I want to care the way my Father wants me to care. And I want to share the way my Father wants me to share. And when my brother's standing in need, well, I'm gonna be there. 'Cause I want to reach out the hand of God and show the world He's really there. I want to share the way my Father wants me to share. Let the wretched self in me. yourself in me, you crucified all for thee, all for thee, all for thee, all for thee, all for thee.
Ah, let this wretched self in me be crucified. It's a prayer I've prayed many times over the last 12 years. You know, I'm not going to give my whole testimony on this tape because, well, I really feel like the Lord hasn't led me to. And I don't give my testimony unless the Lord leads me to. Sometimes it's a very effective ministry tool. And yet, there are times when people kind of compete to see who can have the worst testimony. And that really bothers me in the kingdom of God, that we glorify testimonies where somebody was just a wretch rather than testimonies where somebody has served Jesus for their whole life. To me, Michelle's testimony is the good one because she served the Lord through all of her days. And that's a victory. That's what people need to hear. And so if the Lord leads sometime, I may do my testimony. But suffice it to say that when I was about 14 years old, I came to know Jesus. But I was so selfish and so set on my own way that I gradually moved away from Him. I wanted my own plans. I wanted my own way. I wanted Him as Savior, but I didn't want Him as Lord. That led to me becoming a drunk, hurting a lot of people, becoming kind of the party king there in Juneau and in Alaska. And I, after a few four and a half carnal years, horrible years, all I wanted to do was die. And in that moment, the Lord came back to me and He said, I've still called you. Most of my misery came because 2 weeks after I came to know Christ at 14 years of age, I knew that God had called me into full-time ministry. I knew what He wanted me to do. He had told me to leave, but I had opportunities available to me there and at home that I didn't want to leave behind. My goal was to serve me. It was to be rich. And so after those carnal years, when I finally woke up through a strange series of events that maybe someday I'll share, I had not played Christian music for some time, although when I was 16 years old, I used to play my guitar and lead people to Jesus, but it had drifted far from me in those carnal years. But after I came back to the Lord, there were several things that changed the way I would think, the things I would do forever. Some things that were very hard for me to deal with. The first thing was that we formed a new band, the First Lifeline, and I formed it with some friends there in Alaska, and we started ministering, and that was pretty fun. But there was other things happening in my life. I had been engaged to a girl I had met when I was still partying and things were still kind of crazy in my life. I had met a young lady whom I loved very much, and it was very hard for me. But I think I tried to compromise with God, and I did the Lord, I can make her a Christian kind of thing. Well, she called me one day and she said that she didn't want to marry a minister, and that made it quite simple. And as crushed as I was at first, over a few days' time, I realized that I couldn't marry her because I needed to serve Jesus with my whole life anyway. Well, she called me back and she said that she was willing to marry me, except that I would have to put her first. And in that moment, I said, you know, I've been putting things first before Christ for a long time, and I can't do that anymore. And I realized that all of the things that had gone wrong in my life, everything that had caused me trouble, came from the fact that Jesus had taken second place instead of first place in my life. And that's where this song came from, was in that moment when I was really in despair from emotions and from a lost love, but realizing that Jesus needed to be first no matter what.
You know I love you more than anything in this world. We've been together now for such a long time, girl. Through the night, the crazy fears, you've been right there by my side. I've wiped away the tears every time you cry. Now you say you have to go, 'cause of the life I've come to know, and the one in whom I have believed. With my steady Jesus Christ, and no place in our lives, and that He destroyed you and me. Words escape me, I don't know what to say. Ever since I found peace in mind, been hoping it would fade away. You say you gotta be
Emotionally devastated, but I realized that the Lord wanted all of me. And I was just again learning more of what it meant to give the Lord all of my life, what it really meant to make Him Lord. And God would use events over and over again in my life to teach me and to mold me and to show me what a selfish and self-centered individual I was. In one of those cases, I was called by a fellow from Youth for Christ. I had worked with them when I was younger, but of course had drifted away from that when I had been walking in the world. Well, this fellow called me up and he said, "Hey, I heard you've come back to the Lord, and we at Youth for Christ are working with the police here." The Youth for Christ bunch did some things like they broke up a child pornography ring there in Juneau, and they had Youth for Christ go in and minister to the young kids and their way. And this time they had heard of a teenage prostitution ring that was going on in town, and there were two girls who had run away from home. They were 12 or 13 years old, and they had reason to believe they'd gotten hooked up with this guy who was kind of running this thing. And he said, "I heard you just kind of came out of this rotten world, and you know a lot of people that we don't know, and we're wondering if you can try to track down these two girls." Well, I did track them down, and there was a third girl, and they lived in a building that I owned there in Juneau. And it was, or the guy that was running this thing lived there. And so it was pretty easy for me. They didn't know that I had was going into ministry or anything else. They just kind of had known me from the party scene. And so I walked in there and got to know these girls. Well, over the course of time, there was a third one whose name was Michelle. The two that we were sent to find, we did get reconciled with their family, and that was wonderful. But the third one was a girl named Michelle, who was 12 or 13 years old as well, who had many... Well, her upbringing was horrible, and I'll spare you the terrible details here, but it was one of abuse and rejection and neglect, and she'd ended up meeting a man who had starved her until she would work for him, and somehow it ended up being a teenage prostitute there in Juneau, Alaska. Well, we only had a limited amount of time to try and pull them out of the trouble they were in, and I didn't have a lot of options for her because she had no home. I was a single bachelor. It didn't seem appropriate for me to take her in, especially with my own having come just out of the world. And so I went to some of the churches, the three that I was most closely connected with, and said, "Hey, I've got a problem here." Went to the pastors and said, "I got a problem. I got this girl, and this is what's going on. I got to find her a place to live. She has these needs." And everyone told me the same thing. You know, gave me the, "Well, we have a youth group on Friday nights, and we've got Sunday school Sunday morning and church on Sunday morning." And it just didn't cut it. And I walked away from there realizing that if the church couldn't meet needs like this, then there was something wrong with the church. And so in that, I was quite upset, actually, at the time. But I was meeting with this young lady and her friends, and I had a friend of mine with the church from the church come and meet with them with me as kind of an accountability thing. But as I would talk to them, she would talk about love. And I would try to talk about the fact that God loved her. And now I had a good family. I had a good upbringing, folks. I have no excuses for any of the mistakes that I made. And yet, here I was talking to somebody who'd never had a break in her life, who it seemed like there was no hope for. And when I said, "Jesus loves you," when I said, "God loves you," she didn't even know what love meant. And I had to start from the very beginning to tell her what love meant. And somewhere in my heart, I suddenly realized how selfish I was. And I remember saying, "If there are people like this, and there are needs like this all over this world, there is no way I could live for me. There's no way I could live for me." Well, I wish there was a happy ending. We ran out of time. The police moved in, busted the thing. They shipped her off to who knows where. I had a chance to share the gospel with her, but she never did come to the Lord. And it was 2 years before I could talk about it with anyone without breaking down and sobbing. But this song I wrote at that time that changed my life forever.
I can hear you crying, though you never shed a tear. And Jamie, I know you're dying, but you refuse to let me near. You say I don't understand you, I'm from the cleaner side of town. But I'm not placing demands on you, and I'm not trying to bring you down. But Jamie, he's calling out your name, wants to mend your broken heart, and he'll take away the shame. Jamie, I know it hurts, but I can't just walk away. How could I leave you here this way? Living for a bride as Jesus died to pay. Give your burden to God and take it all away. Oh, Jamie. I know your parents used you in a way that wasn't right. I know that life has abused you, and that's why you're standing here tonight. But Jesus wants to love you, girl. You know he wants to set you free. He's not a way out above this world. He's standing right here with you and me. And Jamie, he's calling out your name. He wants to mend your broken heart, and he'll take away the shame. Jamie, I know it hurts, but I can't just walk away. I can't just leave you here this way. You're living for a bride as Jesus died to pay. Give your burden to God and take it all away. Oh, Jamie. Oh, Jamie. I'm following you up. Never been real to you, but you've heard the story all before. And God's never done a thing for you. Did you ever open up the door? He wants to give it all to you. Oh, Jamie, if you just believe, he'll open up the gates of heaven for you. Oh, Jamie, if you just receive. Jamie, he's calling out your name. He wants to mend your broken heart, and he'll take away the pain. Jamie, I know it hurts, but I can't just walk away. How could I leave you here this way? God, take it all away.
Not long after this, it seemed like the Lord was just changing me 1,000 miles an hour. That everything I had held as important in my life was not important anymore. That the things that I had lived for night and day, they didn't matter anymore. And all of a sudden I realized that my life was not my own, that I had been bought with a price. And I began to seek earnestly what the Lord had for me. My being in the original lifeline began to be difficult because I noticed that we were still, in some ways, living to sign autographs and longing for a recording contract and things that I felt were just worldly. And I had just come out of that worldly way of thinking. I didn't want to go back there. And knowing this and knowing that as long as I was in my hometown, it was going to be very difficult for me to rise above the expectations for carnality that were on me from people all over. And I needed to get things together. I had some health problems, primarily from drinking, and I was still throwing up blood. I had a lot of things. I didn't know if I was even going to live long enough to really serve Jesus, but I said, God, no matter what it takes. I was still running from it to some degree because I had a business there. I was working in the family retail lumber yard there. I had a construction company. I had a number of other irons in the fire. I mean, there were a lot of things that held me down, what I called anchors at the time. And it really was difficult for me to make that final decision that I would go wherever God wanted me to go. But the Lord began to speak to me one night, and I was living at that time renting a room in a home with a family with a young boy who's probably 8 or 9 years old. And I remember he came up to my room one night, and I was there on my knees weeping and weeping and weeping. And he looked at me and asked me why. And I said, because I finally, after all this time, said, Jesus, I'll go. No matter what, no matter where, I'll go. And with tears in my eyes and the very essence of final surrender, I sat down and wrote this next song.
Too many times, Christ calls us, and we
we just turn him away. We're waiting for words, but we're just waiting for the words that we want him to say. But Jesus said, put it all aside, and only then can you follow me. And that's the way. That's the only way. I'm gonna do what you ask me to do. I'll start living by the truth I already know. I'll turn around and stop wasting time. I'll live my life by you in my mind. And when you call my Jesus, I'll go. My Jesus, I'll go. My Jesus, I'll go. My Jesus, I'll go.
And so not long after, I sold everything I had, basically sold out of what I had, and took off to go to Idaho. I didn't know why. I didn't even know where Idaho was on a map. Just seemed to be the door that opened up. I knew I had to get out, so it seemed like the logical choice. I don't remember if God specifically called to me to Idaho this 12 years ago or not, but I know that it seemed right at the time. And so I took off with what I had left in my pickup truck and headed down, paid the party debts from the past and pretty much broke even. Took off and headed down to where I would begin a ministry. Went from being a guy who knew everybody in a town to going to a town where I knew nobody. From a guy that had money to a place where I had nothing. And the Lord proceeded over that next year to just pull one thing after another out of my hands. I had relationships go sour so quick that I just figured the Lord wanted me to be single for the rest of my life. And I had pretty much given into that. On the ferry on the way down, as I headed down south, I remember writing a very short poem, and it simply went like this. Time stands still before me. What's next, I cannot know. But mine is not to wonder why. My call is just to go. It's not to wonder why, and it's not to ask why me, Lord. It's just to go. And I went. And I got down to college, and I thought a Christian college would be all that I had ever dreamed it would be. I thought that, you know, 1,100 Christians, there were no Christian colleges where I came from. I figured if people went to Christian college, they must be really serious about the Lord. Yeah, I was a little idealistic. As I went down there, I got there, I ran for chaplain, and I won. And I went in to do a service, and I got everybody excited and said, okay, everybody that wants to get serious about serving Jesus, talk to me afterwards, and we'll look at ways we can win this community to Christ. And nobody came up and talked to me. And I got my first dose of reality in the Christian college world. I would go on that year to have battles over hypocrisy in the administration and battles over the hypocrisy in teachers and quite a battle with many, many things that I felt were just not what the Word of God said they should be. It was a difficult time. It was a difficult battle. All the while, I had made this acceptance that I would be single for the rest of my life. In the meantime, I started a band there at college, another lifeline. And that, the keyboard player, was a young lady named Michelle. And the rest, I guess, is history. We were only went out on one date before I proposed to her. I knew this was it beyond the shadow of a doubt. I knew this was the girl God wanted me to marry. And even beyond that, I didn't want to fool around with dating anymore. I wanted to get that behind me so I could serve Jesus. And so we had only been on one date, and I wrote her this song to ask her if she would marry me. And that was another thing the Lord brought into my life that would obviously change my life forever and bring this ministry to the place of effectiveness that it is today. I'm looking into your eyes. I'm seeing the rest of my life. I guess I never realized life with anyone could feel so right. But now I'm holding you and I see in your eyes that you feel the same way too. My dreams are realized.
God's love is shining through. We're walking in His light. And so now I'm asking you, oh babe, could you give your life? Would you be my wife? And I say that which God will join together, let no man ever take apart. Sunny days or stormy weather, I pledge to you my life and heart. I will honor and protect you until my life on earth is done. You know He makes us one. I have not much to give, just everything I own. I've got one life to live, and I don't want to live it alone. All my life I've looked for you, and now you're here with me. A ray of light, you're a dream come true, a reachable fantasy. This road that some call freedom has brought me over chains. Let's join together in His kingdom, oh babe, could you feel the same? Would you wear my name? And I say that which God will join together, let no man ever take apart. Sunny days or stormy weather, I bless to you my life and heart. Time has come, I'm reaching for your hand. You and I will be as one, joined together to fulfill His plan. Oh babe, I'm holding you, and I see it in your eyes, that you feel the same way too. My dreams are realized. God's love is shining through, we're walking in His light. And so now I'm asking you, oh babe, could you give your life? Would you be my wife? And I say that which God will join together, let no man ever take apart. Sunny days or stormy weather, I pledge to you my life apart. I will honor and protect you until my life on earth is done. And I will love and I'll respect you in God the Father who made us as one. You know He makes us one. Oh girl, time has come. Oh, babe, to be as one.
Well, the next band, the Lifeline that we started at college, seemed to get carried away with the whole recording contract, I Want to Be Famous thing again. And it was something that Michelle and I just couldn't do, so we split off and we began what is now Lifeline, and for the last 12 years has been Lifeline, which the core of which has been Michelle and I. There have been many other people go along on a discipleship basis, but we've never again had a band. It's always been a ministry. Before that time, it was always a band. Since that time, it's been a ministry that happens to play music. And we got away from the recording contract stuff. We got away from all those problems. And in next month's tape, I'll be talking a lot about the things we went through to develop the convictions that we have right now. But as Michelle and I were to be married, the financial concerns came up. Here I was broke, and I felt like, Lord, if I'm going to marry this girl, I need some kind of a, you know, money, something going on. Lord, I can't even give her food. When Michelle and I got married, we lived on literally bread and water. I remember buying 3 loaves of wheat bread for $1 from Fred Meyer, the uncut stuff, and we'd go buy it. I remember when we had enough money to buy butter for our bread. It sounds ridiculous, but it's true. We walked everywhere because there was no gas for our van. There were so many things that changed me because I had been this selfish individual, really spoiled rotten in many ways. And in that year, the Lord allowed me to just be broken down and shaken. But at this point, I was just hurting because I wanted so bad to provide for Michelle the things I felt like I should be able to provide for Michelle going into that marriage. And then I wrote this song because I wanted her to know just how much she meant to me and how much I longed to be able to provide for her in the way I felt I should.
Thinking back tonight on all the Lord has given, how He took this wretched rebellious life and turned out a soul forgiven. And looking at You tonight, I see a short close glimpse of heaven, and it brings a tear into my eyes for the sweet life that we're living. Still, sometimes I'd like to make you feel like the princess that you are. Though we may never eat the finest meals and we'll never drive fancy cars, 'cause we've committed our lives to so much more than just living for ourselves. And 'cause it's You and me and Jesus, how could I ask for anything else? Know my past is one filled with wealth and glory, but as with many others who travel that road, it ends in the same sad story. And the day God turned my life around, I knew where I should be, and since then I've been living in heaven on earth, and the truth is so plain to see. Sometimes I'd like to make you feel like the princess that you are. Though we may never eat the finest meals and we'll never drive fancy cars, 'cause we committed our lives to so much more than just living for ourselves. And 'cause it's You and me and Jesus, how could I ask for anything else? When the morning comes, I'll go to work another day, and You probably will not see me again till the sun has long faded away. But this is where we choose to be, deep within His love. For You and I have bread to eat that the world knows nothing of. Sometimes I'd like to make you feel like the princess that you are. Though we may never eat the finest meals and we'll never drive fancy cars, 'cause we committed our lives to so much more than just living for ourselves. And
And in marrying Michelle, I think both of us found a new vision, that it began to clarify. The road ahead came into focus, and we knew what God wanted us to do. We knew what it was going to take for us to follow Jesus. And that's what we're going to start out in the cost of really following Jesus. And some of you out there, I know, have talked to me many times about, well, how do I do this? How do I get started? What does it take? And folks, I want to tell you, one of the biggest battles is just that people don't stick with it. It gets hard. See, there's that point where you think that, hey, it just ought to be easy. It just ought to open up. Now, I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. The road ought to just open up before me. The wind should always be at my back. But we live in a carnal, sinful world, and even the church itself can battle against you at times, and it's not easy. It's tough. And a lot of people just quit. And the reason so many people fail in ministry is real simple, folks. They just quit. They just quit. And one of our strengths, I believe, is that we were just too stubborn to quit. And so as we talk about what it took, I'm looking forward to next month. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be great. And I look back on the miracles that God has performed, the things that He has done, and it's a wonderful thing to know that you're in the hands of the living God. So let's just close with a song called Narrow Way, which just talks about following Jesus no matter what.
Seems to me I've been walking this highway too long, all in the name of doing it my way, but I'm doing it wrong. Thinking back, I remember the time when I set out to find myself.
Thank you. Gonna
Lifeline tape of the month. We're here doing the series I'll Go, a Lifeline history and song. And it's been fun. It's been fun to think back on everything that's gone on through the years and the way the Lord has taken care of us. You just heard a couple songs that kind of characterize where we were at as we left off on the other tape where Michelle and I got together and the vision for ministry became clear, but we still had no idea really what that ministry would be. We just had a hunger to reach out and to touch lives and to meet the needs of people. So we just set out and kept ministering in all kinds of ways. We were pastoring at a church on a volunteer basis. We were associates there and also working in street ministry in Boise, Idaho. And we'd go out there from midnight till 4 in the morning and tell people about Jesus. And on the weekends, we were playing at a coffee house in Nampa, Idaho. And, well, that was pretty much the extent of the life. I was doing construction work and mechanic work on the side to try and keep food on the table and keep us in a place to live. But more and more, the Lord kept building conviction in us about the church and about the way He wanted us to minister to unbelievers and to the church and the way He had messages for us to bring. But as a 23-year-old guy and a 19-year-old young lady, I guess we didn't know just exactly what direction to go and just what to do. But the Lord was building these convictions on what the church ought to be, and we knew we had a message. And these songs, especially the first one that you're about to hear, well, the second one, sorry, One Father, One Spirit, One Son is the first one. And I wrote it about the need for unity within the church, and then Broken Family, which was something the Lord revealed to me actually back when I was in high school. I wrote that song about what the church is compared to what the church ought to be. And so we're just going to do those right now.
You know, I'll never understand why we walk so far apart. When we're all in the palm of His hand, why can't we be one in heart? You're my brother and you're my sister, and I love you all. Can't you see that united we stand, but my friends, divided we fall? Oh, won't you please take my hand, let's walk together as one. You and I, we can make that stand. One Father, one Spirit, one Son. Love one another, it's His greatest command. It's the reason for all that He's done. To have His people walk hand in hand. One Father, one Spirit, one Son. One people of God. When He looks at the world, He'll divide us. It must break Jesus' heart to see the very thing that should unite us is tearing us apart. God can't abide in human pride, for He abides in love. Let's turn our eyes off what's outside and worship God above. Please take my hand, let's walk together as one. You and I, we can make that stand. One Father, one Spirit, one Son. Love one another, it's His greatest command. It's the reason for all that He's done. To have His people walk hand in hand. One Father, one Spirit, one Son. One people of God. Don't let the vision leave us. Don't let it fade away. Let's put aside our petty differences. Start here today. Put aside our human pride and worship God alone. Let's be standing side by side when He comes to take us home. Comes to take us home. Won't you please take my hand? Let's walk together as one. You and I, we can make that stand. One Father, one Spirit, one Son. Love one another, it's His greatest command. It's the reason for all that He's done. To have His people walk hand in hand. One Father, one Spirit, one Son. One people of God. Don't let the vision leave us. Don't let it fade away.
Searching for that peace. Oh, you're searching for it.
come along, cause I'm looking to bring my whole family home.
Amen. And just for God wants to call His people home. You know, there's a principle that you see throughout the Word, and I've seen throughout my life, and in the lives of many other people who have gone out into ministry. I call it the call, the test, and the release. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes God will bring us a vision, and we know He's called us to do something. And we think the road ought to just open up before us, but it seems like there is always, right after the call, there is the test. There's that opportunity. We go through trouble, and there's that opportunity to say, oh, maybe it wasn't God, or it just seems too hard, or it ought to be easy. And many people fail because they give up during the test. But if we persevere during the testing time, which can sometimes be very long, we find that the release comes, where God begins to release the vision to us and to take us into the place that He promised us. In the Word, one of the clearest places that we see this is as the Israelites come out of Egypt. They go across the Red Sea, and God has given them a vision and a call and told them to go to the Promised Land, and that was their inheritance. And many of them probably thought that Promised Land should be just on the other side of the sea. It should be just on the other side. And yet it wasn't there. They had to wander through the desert for many years. And of course, because of their disobedience, they had to wander even farther. But as we look at that, this call, the test, the release, I remember back on my life at this time, because I've been through that call, test, and release many times. But as the call came, I knew that the Lord had given us a vision to travel. That God had put it within my heart that He wanted us to travel and tell people about Jesus. But I had just gotten married and been married just 3 months. When Michelle was pregnant with our son, Tony, and we just found out that she was pregnant, and here God gave me this vision that I needed to go on the road with my family. We just moved into a small house, and we're doing the normal American thing, you know, trying to get the house, the two cars, and the dog, and here we were, and I thought, boy, there's no way I can ask Michelle at this time to just go out on the road and travel. But I thought, you know, as long as the Lord's given us this vision, maybe we can go out on weekends. We had a little Toyota pickup, and we were going to these travel trailer lots because we were looking for a little topper, a little gem top for the back of the pickup. So when we would go place for weekends, we'd have a place to sleep just under this gem top on a mattress and a place to haul music equipment. And so as we were out on these lots, they also had big, beautiful motor homes and campers and travel trailers, and we naturally went and sat in a few of them. And while we were sitting in one of them across the table, Michelle looked at me and said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just sell everything we have and just go on the road and serve Jesus? And I hadn't even mentioned it up to that point, but it didn't take me no time then. We stopped by the newspaper on the way home and advertised everything we had, which wasn't much. And we went home and put things on the yard and had a yard sale with the very little that we did have. We gathered up enough and we traded off our little car for an old pickup that I found on a farm that hadn't run in a long time, had no brakes, no exhaust system, and the hood wouldn't shut. And I worked on it for 2 days and got it to where it would run. We were ready. We put an old, ugly top thing on the back, and we were ready to go on the road. We thought that was it. We had made it. And you know, there were a lot of things the Lord did then. We put out a bunch of promos. We sent out a whole bunch of promotional deals with tapes. The first tape we ever did, One Father, One Spirit, One Son, in the first recording, which was a pretty rough recording. We sent that out to many churches, 60 is I believe, and no one wrote back. So I called them all on the phone because I knew God had called us to do this. So I called them all on the phone and I said, hey, do you want us to come? And they all said no. See, folks, that's the test. I had the call. Now I was going through the test. And where you start to go, whoa, is it really God? Well, other things were happening. We had come up with the tapes, and I felt like the Lord had convicted me that I wasn't supposed to charge for anything. But everybody charges for tapes, so I made a deal with God. I said, everybody's charging $10. We'll only charge $5. And with the first tape jackets on the One Father, One Spirit, One Son tape came back with a statement inside that says, if you want one of these, send $5 to Lifeline Ministries. But before the first tape ever went out to people, the Lord had convicted me so hard that everything from that time on has been on a donation basis. We have never charged for anything, charged up front for services or for materials. And that was a real battle. It was a real breaking time for me because it took a leap of faith to believe that God was going to take us into that promised land that He had placed before us, that He was going to bring that vision before us. And in that breaking time, in the test, in that point, more than ever before, we made the decision that we were going to give all of our lives to Jesus, no matter what, everything we had was His.
hardly reach for something. All in my mind, still I come up with nothing. Looking for freedom, I know only you can give.
Everything that I am, the theme that's guided us from day one. You know, so here we were. We had a vision to travel. We had a call to travel. We had tapes. We had passion. We had music. And we had nowhere to go. And so then the Lord came to me and was very specific and said, on this date, it was a Monday, He said, on this date, it was about a month away, you will go to the Seattle area and you'll minister for me. Now, I had no idea how we were going to get there. And we certainly hadn't had much luck getting any bookings. But we were still playing in this coffee house on weekends, and that date was quickly approaching. We had no money to even buy the fuel to get there. So I'm sitting in this coffee house one night, and we were playing on a Friday and Saturday night, and you play till well after midnight. Play for about 4 hours straight. And one night, on a Saturday, before that Monday that we would leave for the Seattle area, and we were going, no matter what, whether we had gas or not, we were getting in that car and we were in that truck, and we were going to drive if the pickup would make it. And so that night on that Saturday, as I was wondering how we were going to make it, a man came in and he stood there and he watched us for nearly the whole 4 hours. And at the end of the night, he came up to me and he introduced himself and he said, you know, I run a Christian inner city Christian ministry there, a little coffee house thing there in Bremerton, Washington. So if you're ever in the area, we'd sure love to have you come. I said, how about this week? And so there it was, right there in the Seattle area, we had a place to go. But we had no money. And so we were going to our donation box at the end of the night. And folks, donation boxes and coffee houses, you put out like 30 tapes, you get $5. That's just the way it works. And so I went there that night and I opened it up and there was $150 in there, which was enough to get us to Seattle. Boy, our dream was there. We were taking off. We had crossed the Red Sea, and we were heading toward the Promised Land. We went to Seattle. We played at this coffee house, and pastors and people from all over the place came in. We ended up playing solid for a month. Made lots of contacts. Things were going. I figured, this is it. We've made our big break. But God began to more and more show me, and what He was teaching me is that He was more interested in what He was building in me and in building a kingdom than He was in building a ministry. In my immaturity, in my walk with God, I was convinced that I needed to build this ministry, that I had to have a name, that I was going to build Lifeline Ministries into something great. And I realized that God is about building people, not ministries. And so we went over there, we came back, and the next year we decided to book a tour. Boy, now it was going to fly. We put everything out. We got 13 single service dates. See, in those days we didn't do the revival series like we do now. We got 13 single Sunday dates in 6 months of time. And that's not much to survive on, folks. By now we had a little travel trailer, and we were living in that, and we had our first child, and here we had 13 single dates. But you know, we went out on the road, we stepped out, we said, God is going to take care of us. We got out there, we'd go to one church, they'd call their friends, we'd end up playing the next place. We ended up playing something like 30 or 40 in that 6 months, which by today's standards, when we, you know, we play a couple hundred in a tour, doesn't sound like much, but it was enough to survive, and it was big news for us. But we had the faith to believe and a burden for the lost, and that's what drove us, and that's what still drives us, the fact that people need the Lord. And you know, there's been so many times when God has called us in faith. I believe I've told most of you this story before at some point on these tapes. But there have been so many times when God has called us to a radical level of faith. And He said, I want you to walk with me. I want you to do what I tell you to do, even if circumstances don't look good. And He taught me that He is our covenant partner. And through the years, I realized that God can take care of us. God can move even when we feel like there's just no way He can move. Those times when I was driving down the road because God told us to go to the next town, when we had no money and no gas, and some stranger would flag me down in the middle of nowhere and hand me $100 and say, the Lord wants me to give you this. Those times when those miracles of God come through, when it must have been an angel of God that brought it to pass. Those times and accidents and vans blowing up and burning to the ground. Those many stories that I could tell if I wanted to stretch this into a 20-tape series. But those times when we should have been dead and God came and delivered us. Because we said, when God said go, we said we will. I'll go. Wherever you want me to go and whatever you want me to be. And why? Because I love Jesus and because people need the Lord. People need the Lord. And that takes me back to a time when God revealed to me that even in the days when I tried to shut Him out, He was right there by my side. That He never left or forsaken me. And that anyone who would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And that was the message. This song was that first year, the message we went out with, that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God can bring you home.
But they'll expect you to rule tonight.
'cause you're the weekend king. But the parties and the one night stands, they really don't mean a thing. 'Cause you're reaching for a better time, a time long before you knew fear. That dream's been lost in your mind, and your mind's been lost in your beer. But soon it's all gonna fade away as you turn back into your cloud. And you'll forget the price you paid for being one of the crowd. For being one of the crowd. Another night is done. You're sitting with your head in your hands at first light of the morning sun. Hear a voice call from far away, the voice of an old friend. And you know just what he's gonna say, 'cause you heard it again and again. My child, have you lost enough? Are you willing to give up your pride? I think you found that you're not so dumb and you still need me by your side. I'm willing to take you home. I'll help you overcome your doubts. I think you found you can't make it alone, and you know I'm your only way out. Jesus is my only way out. So I said, Father, you know what I've done. You said I used to know all you said, but I said, Father, you know where I've been. He said, my child, I hung on a cross so you never have to die again. And I can still hear his voice calling me home. I can still hear his voice calling me home.
And it was time to go home. I remember those days clearly, the days of despair, just crying out to Jesus. And then after I found him and we were walking, we were going through this time, as we've been talking about on this tape, I found myself haunted by memories of things of the past, even guilt that the devil was trying to bring to my mind, but mostly past relationships and past friends that I'd left behind, and my hunger and my desire and my burden to see them come to know Jesus. And one of them was my best friend for many years, and it was for him that I wrote this song. Love that.
back each day to the same old routine. You ponder life but don't know what it means. And I know there's times when you wanna cry. My friend, there's more than just living to die. His only begotten one, that you might have eternal life. To wipe away our tears, to comfort us in our fears, and to take away the long, lonely nights. But oh, I can't reach you through the darkness.
God knows just where your heart is, and only His love can set you free. And I threw that song in to kind of give an idea of some of the things that drove us in the early years of the ministry. Some of them were right and some of them were wrong. And I was often driven by a guilt that, and a lack of understanding of God's grace that wasn't right, that burnt me out for a long time. And when I came to know His grace, that's why we teach so much on grace and why we've written so much on grace, because it set me free when I finally realized that He had set me free, that the Lord Jesus died to set me free. Well, next month we're going to get going on how we got into discipleship and taking people on the road and the battles won and lost at the Discipleship Center in Idaho. And those are dramatic stories, so you'll be looking for that. There was a lot of dramatic testimony that happened there. We went through a lot of battles, spiritual, emotional, financial, and the Lord taught us a lot of lessons. So we'll be talking about those battles won and lost. Just want to close this one out because I want to be a soul-changing, people-rearranging beacon in the darkest night. So be watching for the next tape in the series. And boy, nobody can complain on this tape of the month series that there's not enough music, because there's plenty. But here we are. I'm going to be a soul-changing, people-rearranging beacon in the darkest night. We love y'all. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers and your financial support. We appreciate it, and it's what keeps this thing going. Just keep us in your remembrance. So Lord bless you all. Thank you.
want to live my life like a soldier who won't make a stand. I don't think you can fight that fight with only half of the battle plan. It's not enough to be a church on Sunday. It's not enough to pray. None of the words mean a thing to God if you're not willing to do what you say. I want to live to die for the one who tries to hide my nail. Give me more of your spirit, Lord, than I have your spirit to give. I want to be like you, Lord. I want to do so much more. I want to be a soul changer. The time has come to put down our books and take up our sword and shield. We'll rise above as the whole world looks. We'll stand firm and we'll never yield. The time has come to make a stand for Jesus. Won't you stand with me? And maybe when this storm is near, they'll come running to be set free. I want to live to die for the one who died to why I live. Give me more of your spirit, Lord, than I have your spirit to give. I want to be like you, Lord. I want to do so much more. I want to be a soul changer. In the darkest night. Maybe you don't want to live your life like a soldier who won't make a stand. You and I, we can win this fight. He's given us the battle plan. Throw away all the chains that bind you. Throw away the lies. As you watch it all fall behind, you press forward and take the prize. I'm gonna live to die for the one who died to wipe my nail. Getting more of your spirit, Lord, than I have your spirit to give. I wanna be like you, Lord. I wanna do so much more. I wanna be a soul changer. In the darkest night. In the darkest night. In the darkest night.